Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Friday afternoon, Sue is out for a couple of days. She took some time off. She'll be back on Wednesday afternoon. We do have Jane Duker hanging out also, the Hall of Famers here.
How about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
And Ethan's going to do Sue's news, so that becomes Ethan's news. Do you have plans, Jane Duker, for the weekend?
Oh, I hope a lot of relaxing because the weather's going to cool down.
We're going to find out a little bit more about that weather. You've offered me a beautiful segue. Isn't this the Balloon Festival weekend, too?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, tonight, right.
Dave,
it starts tonight.
Meteorologist Dave Murray with us this afternoon. Hello, Dave. How are you? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
What do we got? Did we finally get... This was that week that we didn't really enjoy because we were segueing so comfortably into fall. And I think the first day of autumn is on Monday, if I'm not mistaken. Now, it's been a little uncomfortable.
You are correct.
Yeah, a little uncomfortable with the temperatures this week. Today seems pretty nice. Are we ever, like, ever going to get any rain?
Yes, hopefully. But remember, though, that September, October are very dry months in the St. Louis
I
area.
Yep.
And it correlates...
Yeah, but it's been,
including
I mean, we have not had serious rain in a while. It's, you know, and I talked about this week. This happened a couple years ago. So I have, most of the people in my neighborhood have an irrigation system, not everyone. But the armadillos have come out of the woods, and they did this a couple years ago, and they're digging holes in all of our mulch in our yards because they can't get their, you know, food source, worms and grubs and stuff like that. So it's so dry in most locations, they're coming down to the houses that have irrigation and just tearing up our lawns. And you can't blame the little guys because they're hungry, but this same damn thing happened a couple years ago. I mean, we really do need some rain.
Yes, and we, you know, we're going to get some rain over the next couple of days. It's a let's just jump to the 90 to 95 degree heat is over.
Woo!
And it may be over for the rest of the year. I'm not sure that's going to make a comeback. However, tomorrow is going to be 88. It's going to be warm again tomorrow and a little more humid. The pattern is changing, but it's changing to an unsettled weather pattern. And we're going to see waves of rain and thunderstorms right through Wednesday, the way it's shaping up right now. What's happening is what we call a cutoff low pressure system is going to form to our north, and it will send these waves around the backside of that thing again through Wednesday. It's not going to be raining all the time. There will be some strong thunderstorms also at times, and that's going to be the big factor. If you don't get under a thunderstorm, your rainfall amounts are going to be okay. They're not going to be great, but you get under a thunderstorm or two, then there's a potential for 1 to 2 inches of rain between now and Wednesday under thunderstorms, and not everybody's going to see that. But temperatures will be cooler. We're talking 83 on Sunday, 81 on Monday, and it does look like by the end of next week, as this cutoff low moves out, that our high temperatures will be in the 70s and nighttime lows could be in the 50s.
I don't mind that at all.
I
think that
it.
Sounds really nice as we get closer to October, right? Now, we could still have days, you know, maybe even into the 90s in October. And I mention occasionally that I've been in a deer stand the second week of November when it's been in the upper 80s. Dave, that's not very comfortable. And the wasps come alive and stuff like that. But I think a lot of us are ready.
We've had Thanksgiving days that have been in the 80s.
Sure.
Yeah, we don't need that.
No, I agree.
Yep. Fall's coming. I don't know why I usually am a summer person, but boy, cooling it off and getting a little rain.
You know what, Jane? I'm right there with you.
Great.
I don't know what it is because I've tried to not complain about the heat because I lived in Milwaukee all those years and I got sick of it. And I'm sure in 2 weeks, Dave, I'll be complaining about the cool temperatures. But Sue and I, this is so funny. Jane, you might be able to relate to this. We sit here every day in our 66-degree studio, which is kind of like David Letterman, the way he kept it. And it's not, we have no control over it whatsoever. That's why we sit literally with blankets. But Sue and I actually look forward, Dave, to leaving the building because it's warm. Because it's warmer in the damn parking garage than it is in the studio. Now, you know what's going to happen. We're going to say, oh, damn it. It's cooler out than it is in the studio. That'll happen soon enough. Listen, thank you for the update this afternoon. You have a great weekend.
You too, guys.
All right, take care. We got Sue's news coming up with Ethan in a few minutes. I wanted to talk about Sue, I think, is, I don't know if she ever did any kind of running or triathlons or anything like that. Jane, have you ever done that, like, in your entire life?
No. My husband did a marathon.
He has, Joe has.
Him. Yeah, he said, I did it. I never need to do it again.
So the only thing that I've done is I, 1 year, Camo X had a team in the St. Louis Marathon, and we did a relay. So that was like I ran 6 miles. I walked 6 miles.
Walk.
So,
I call that walking.
Yeah,
it's
well,
walking
right, exactly.
And jogging.
So
walking.
When I quit drinking when I was 25 years old and I wanted to get into shape, I started doing some running. And I got to the point where I was doing 5 miles, maybe 3 or 4 times a week. I hated it. I absolutely hated it. But I was doing it to try to change my lifestyle and get healthier. And I weighed a little bit, certainly more than I do right now. I went through a couple of different periods in my life when I did running. And usually it was to lose weight because I found that it was the easiest way to reduce, you know, carbs and then to run, do an intense exercise. It's never a bad thing. But I kind of, you know, kind of segued into cycling for much of my life. The reason I bring this up is because I do have, and I was hanging with him last week, Steve Butts could vouch for this. My friends in Colombia, Carlin Yeager is my dear friend who I hunt with. His wife Nancy is, not only do they own Fleet Feet shoe stores, but Nancy's like a triathlete. And the whole world of triathlons and marathons, it's like a cult. Can I just say that?
It really
lovingly
is.
To the people
yes.
out there.
God bless them.
I have a simple rule that I follow when it comes to like long distance running. And I've stole this from my friend Mike O'Neill, who is Dan O'Neill, who is occasionally a contributor, his brother. So I have to give credit to Mike O'Neill. Anything that makes you poop your pants and your nipples bleed, I'm out. Okay, just to be clear.
Those are real good standards,
right.
Mark.
I think it's something that everyone could live
Rules
by.
Rules to live by.
So what happens in the running world is a lot of them, you know, when you do marathons and stuff like this, you have to qualify potentially for, like, Boston. They don't just let everyone in the Boston Marathon. So I'm bringing this up because there was a story last week in the Wall Street Journal about this controversy that's occurring in the running world because people are using downhill races to qualify for the Boston Marathon. So there's a raging war apparently in the running community. Again, this stuff is very cultish sometimes.
Wow.
My apologies to those of you who have the little stickers on your cars and everything. The target is a subset of long-distance races that begin high in the mountains and pitch participants downhill. They've exploded partly as a way for runners to notch quicker times that qualify them for the pinnacle of the distant races, which is the Boston Marathon. But the critics call it a shortcut that edges better runners out of big events. Downhill enthusiasts say this, get over yourselves. If you think it's so easy, try it, because there's got to be some uphill involved if there's downhill.
Yeah, if they're going down, you had to have gone up somewhere.
They said about 2,000 people invited to last year's Boston Marathon made it in by running races that were at least 2,000 feet downhill. Boston requires that most runners hit times that, you know, are, they vary based on age. Because of the popularity, there are thousands of runners who qualify and still don't get to be among the 30,000 participants. So I guess there's a couple of people quoted in here. To find out that there are people who will maybe bump me off the race who ran 6,000 feet downhill kind of pisses me off, says one of the people featured in the story who finished the Myrtle Beach Marathon in under 3 hours and figures he's on the cusp of getting into Boston. So I guess there's a big race in Salt Lake City called the Big Cottonwood, and it advertises a net drop of 5,242 feet. That's that's enormous. You know, like if I was on the bike and I was climbing that, that's an amazing amount of climbing. And I've certainly done that before. I've done 10,000 feet in one day. But that gives you a finishing time a half hour shorter than the New York Marathon. So I guess that the fields for those particular races are growing. But then you got the people that are kind of left out and hung out on the edge of the marathon qualifying times. I have an easy answer. Don't do it. don't worry about it.
That's kind of where I'm at.
You know,
right?
For me, I'm not a runner or an athlete in any way, but when I do a 5K or something like that with my wife, Marie, you know, we will pretty much walk as much as we can, but any downhill, we're running.
Oh, really?
To make up our time.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So, I mean, I can understand why people would say that doesn't really seem fair.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, you know, and it's not easy on your legs to be running downhill, to be honest. I mean,
no, I don't think it is.
Stopping.
I mean, I'm sure you're faster, but yeah, but right. Yeah, I mean, but if you're, yeah, so I don't know, man. Yeah, I agree with you. Don't do it.
That's your easy answer. Don't put yourself through the torture. Honest to God, though, Jane, this was something, you know, going back to my comment from a couple of minutes ago, I'm pretty sure I'd never really been to the finish line of a marathon up until 15, 16 years ago. This was probably, I'm guessing 2007 or 2008 or something like that. I'd come back to St. Louis in 2006, and I'm right downtown here. I think I had a friend from Chicago who came down to run the marathon, so we were kind of cheering him on. And I'm watching the finish line just a couple of blocks from where we are right now, and there's these guys that have, like, blood coming out of their shirts and their nipples, and I'm like, what in the world is going on? And
well, there's ways to take care of that.
Well, there are, but these were people who ignored the risks of chafing, and they literally had blood dripping down the front of their body, and I was horrified by that. That's why I think it's a pretty good rule.
It is scary looking.
Well, put some duct tape on those nipples.
Now, I did watch my husband
do
Chicago, and it was an incredible experience. And the people of Chicago line all the streets.
Oh, yeah. I've been to the Chicago Marathon.
And it is, and they are so great to the runners, and they cheer them on. And it was a wonderful experience to watch him and his cousin do it. They did it, you know, one night they got together. Oh, let's do this. Okay. Well, yeah. And then they did, I guess, the half marathon here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And they clearly hadn't trained as much as they should have. And they were like, okay, we got to get it together now because, yeah, they figured out that it was not easy. But that though, preparing for that, like your 20-mile run. That's
those
like
are hard.
Going
back to my comments, really I was hard. With these triathletes last week, and there was one guy that I was talking with. I didn't know him, and I was asking him, you know, a little bit about himself and what he does. And he doesn't do them anymore because there's so much training. Like triathlons, it's crazy. I don't know how people do it, which is why I don't do it. We got Ethan's news coming up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jane, did you watch the Charlie Sheen doc yet?
I did.
Oh, man, it was so good, was it?
I loved it.
I did, too.
And you know what?
We love the train wrecks, don't we?
Well, he was a train wreck, but you know what I give him credit for? One, giving credit to his family who stood by him, including his father.
And his brother, right, who are not featured in the documentary.
Correct. They declined to, and he was totally cool with that.
Yeah, and I understand it.
And he was very self-effacing, which I appreciated. And, you know, he's 8 years sober. And he's got a relationship with his kids now. And but he was very, very open about how this all went badly. I didn't know that Nicolas Cage was the bad influence.
You know what I told Fred the other day? I'm like, that's the next documentary I want to see. I want to see Nick Cage.
Absolutely.
Because, oh my God.
Because they clearly had a wild time. And I didn't realize that he and Sean Penn were childhood friends.
And so I didn't know that either. And Sean Penn is a very important part of that documentary.
I thought he did a great job.
His... his perspective on Charlie Sheen is completely different than anyone else's.
I agree.
And he's such an interesting guy, and he can be kind of an ass. We know that. But I did appreciate that. But Paul Hall is going to talk about entertainment coming up here after the bottom of the hour.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, not today.
My goodness, I know you people are excited for Paul Hall, but this is Ethan's time. Gee whiz.
Go, Ethan!
Today is National Talk Like a Pirate Day. I will not be participating. Mark clearly is.
That's all I got.
It's also Prisoners of War Missing in Action Recognition Day.
Oh, that is good.
That's a good one. I like that one.
That's a little more important than Pirate Day.
Slightly. Slightly. That's the order that they were on the website. So here is a disturbing peek into what Americans enjoy.
Uh-oh.
Google looked at the top five searches that start with, it is weird to like blank.
Oh, no. Okay.
Here are the top five. Is it weird to like the taste of blood? Some people enjoy that metallic taste, so I guess it says you're not alone. The next one, is it weird to like the smell of your own farts?
Oh!
Yes.
I would also agree with that. Is it weird to like the smell of gasoline? I love the smell of gasoline.
I don't like it.
I don't like the smell
Big
of gasoline.
Big fan of the smell of gasoline and tires.
Really?
Yes.
But that's not as weird as the farts.
Oh, yeah. Completely agree. Big jump between two and three.
I agree.
Is it weird? Is it weird to like being called a good boy?
Not if you're my dog who's 6 months old, right. But other than that, yes,
it
is kind of weird.
It clearly depends on the context.
Yes, yeah, thank you.
And is it weird to like spiders? Anyone like spiders in here?
I don't like
them. I'm kind of fascinated by spiders. Yeah, I like spiders and snakes. There's some cool spiders out there.
If I see a snake, I have to move.
Well, I'm not telling you I stand in place either, but I kind of like them.
Nope.
We are officially 6 weeks out from Halloween, obviously the spookiest time of the year, but none of these things should be creepy. They just are. Someone asked people to name normal things that creep them out, and they're not sure why.
Okay.
There's a list of a few of them here. I'm going to go through them. The first one, a chair that is still warm from the person who was just sitting in it.
Yeah, see, I don't like
that. Does that make anyone
feel weird? It is a little weird. And Fred, sometimes I'm the victim. Because
I
come into your
studio.
And Fred's got such a hot ass that when I sit in his seat...
That was not on my bingo card today.
I'm just saying. I sit down sometimes to do an interview.
We all thought it, though, Fred.
I'm so sorry.
We all thought it, but he said it.
It's not your fault, Fred. It really isn't.
I can't think of a person that would get more comfortable from being told they have a hot ass than Fred Bottomer.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it.
Number two, people who smile with wide eyes. This creeps me out. Not a fan.
Really?
Not a fan. Yeah, just, hi, Mark. How you doing?
Oh,
with these wide eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-uh.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's not bad intentioned, but... It's
okay.
Too much.
Yeah, it seems fake is what you're saying, maybe.
When you're having a one-on-one conversation and the person keeps saying your name like, great point, Susan, instead of great point. That's interesting, Mark. How about that, Jane?
Yeah.
I don't know. Rather, it just seems like a step too far.
I haven't really thought about that before.
When your cat or dog is staring at the corner of a room, your immediate thought is, anyone?
He's going to the bathroom there.
Well,
he's looking.
I was thinking ghosts. You ever hear like dogs see ghosts? You ever heard that?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, yeah, man. I always used to get creeped out. What I didn't like is if my dog was letting him out to go to the bathroom at night
right.
and they're looking off in the distance. You're like, what do you see?
What do you see that
what
I don't
do see?
That I've seen.
Okay.
My animals are always looking at something else. Usually it's one of the other animals.
Well, like, there's 14 of them in your house. So
I know.
That makes sense.
I have a great Instagram story up right now of Max the puppy with Oreo the bunny getting along famously. Besties.
They are.
Check that out at Mark Talk on Instagram.
We love the partisanship. Any children's love lullaby if it's sung even a little too slowly? Kids' lullabies are a little bit creepy.
Wow, I've never even heard of that
Well,
issue.
If you've watched The Conjuring, then you know maybe that would change
probably,
you. Maybe that would change you.
Yeah.
Playgrounds at night. Especially if there's a swing set, it's a little windy, they're drifting a little bit. Huh? Mascots, especially ones with dead eyes and a fixed smile, they feel like the eyes follow you everywhere.
I think mascots are a little weird. Like, even, I don't understand, can somebody help me? I think I've looked this up and I know the answer, but why in the hell do the Kansas City Chiefs have like a wolf as their mascot? That is,
I got nothing.
Rando.
There's an answer for it, but I don't care what the answer is.
There is an
answer. It's dumb.
You know, my son Noah was the Billiken.
Really?
Oh, was he really?
For a couple of years when he went to...
Abilican is darn cool, though.
Yeah.
Good mascot. I just want to say that. Good mascot. And then the last one was like human feet. Anyone?
I hate feet.
I hate feet, too.
I absolutely hate feet. I don't want to see your feet. I don't want to see my feet. I don't want anything to do with feet.
And my family knows my hatred for feet, and they pester me with
Look, up with until theirs. About 10 years ago, I'm just going to admit that I was someone who publicly, not at just a pool, like publicly would go out with flip-flops on, right? Like to the store or something like that.
Okay.
I haven't done that in a decade. And I think it's a smart move.
Good
so
for you
I'm,
for changing.
I'm kind of anti-feet on that. Yeah.
Good for you.
Right.
Good for you.
And don't touch me with your feet or you will suffer consequences.
There you're getting smacked. Uh-huh. Yep. The National Toy Hall of Fame revealed the 12 finalists for its 2025 class. And there's some pretty good ones in here. The board games Battleship, Catan, Trivial Pursuit,
yes,
Connect Four, Cornhole. I've never heard of Furbies. Anyone heard
of Furbies? Oh, the Furbies. Yeah, they're little animals.
Okay.
Yeah, they're creepy.
The scooter? Oh my gosh, come on.
I have a scooter.
You still have a scooter?
I have a motorized scooter.
Well, she has
scooter.
An elderly person scooter.
I have like an old person scooter.
I think we're talking like the Razor scooter.
She drives around the airport to get to her gate and stuff like that.
No, I don't that. If I could, I would.
Like a Costanza scooter?
Yeah.
I would if I could, but yeah.
Slime? Snow? I don't understand that
one. Oh, I saw that when I was in, when we were in Glacier National Park.
Saw snow?
They have this manufactured snow stuff. And it literally feels like snow. It's like a toy. And it is...
Is
and
it
you
used
feel
as a
it?
Toy, though?
Well, I mean, you know, you have to buy a big jar of it, and you can make snowballs.
Kind of like slime. Yeah.
Except it feels like snow.
Okay.
It's amazing.
The Spirograph? Never heard of that one?
That's fun.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
You're not even a child if you have... I bought a Spirograph recently because I love them. I'm going to bring it in.
Maybe I know what it is, just haven't heard
of it. No, it has the wheels, and then you go round and round with the colored pens.
Yeah, I've probably heard
You should see Fred and Jane's hands.
I know, we're both doing this.
Like same thing.
We're like
synchronized,
old people.
Yeah, exactly.
A Star Wars lightsaber? Come on, that's a great one. And Tickle Me Elmo.
That's creepy.
You know, the main thing that sticks out, and you said it from the beginning, how in the hell is Battleship not in the Hall of Fame of toys at this point?
That one amazed
me. That was a great... Fred, you were a Battleship guy, right? Come on.
Yeah.
Those were fun.
You sank my Battleship.
I always like to cheat a little bit at Battleship.
Battleships...
You kind of get a glance of where they might be, and then,
I'm not surprised.
Battleship, Slime, and Connect Four were all nominated 2 years ago, but they did not make the cut.
Well, that's a shame.
Happy birthday to Jimmy Fallon turning 51 today.
He's the only guy that's got a job right now.
Basically.
He's going to celebrate, right?
Big day in this day in history for TV shows. 35 years ago, The Goodfellas was released in 1990.
Great movie.
1994, ER premiered on NBC. And 20 years ago in 2005, How I Met Your Mother premiered.
Nice. I always liked that show. I kind of liked it.
I did not get into it. Really? I think there's something... I'm weird because I never really watched it.
And now we wrap up Ethan's news with our random fact of the day.
I do have it.
Okay, I do have it today. And I'm choosing between two of them. I'm going to go with this one. The dates 4-4, 6-6, 8-8, 10-10, and 12-12 all fall on the same day of the week each year. This year they're on a Friday, and next year they'll all be on a Saturday.
Okay, that is weird.
Wow.
So April 4th, June 6th, August 8th, October 10th, and December 12th, all on the same day of the week.
Talk about a random useless fact, but we appreciate
but that's
it
a
anyway.
Good fact.
Friday afternoon edition of Sue's News with Ethan Hannaford, pinch hitting for Sue, who will be back next week in the book. Sue's back on Wednesday, I think. We got Paul Hall coming up, Cusimano later in the hour.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, got Paul Hall coming up here on entertainment. Fred, a couple of days ago, and I never played this audio, there was a hearing on Capitol Hill with mothers who were expressing deep, deep concern about their children who had literally fallen in love with chatbots, had like relationships with chatbots,
well,
right?
It was even worse than that. These chatbots, they had a relationship with them in some way, but they would say, you know, words, they would get suicidal, the humans.
From the influence.
And yeah. The chatbot would be like encouraging.
Yeah, right. So it's frightening. And we're going to have George Rosenthal from Throttle that sort of explain that in the next hour. Ted Dabrowski is going to swing by for a visit. He is a Republican in Illinois that's just announced his candidacy for the Republican nomination for governor. There may be a crowded field on the Republican side, but Ted's got some money, and he is a serious player. Plus, Senator Jason Plummer, who I know pretty well, is behind the efforts. He's his campaign chair, so we'll get to know Ted here. That is, you know, look, that primary is only 6 months away in Illinois. Believe it or not, it'll be here before you know it. Paul Hall's here from Common Guy Films to talk some entertainment. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well on a Friday afternoon. Are you surviving the Chiefs right now, Mark? I just want to know.
I am, because my expectations were, look, I figured they'd be 0-2 after last weekend. I really did. I have some great deep concerns unless they can. I was watching Tyreek Hill last night. I'd heard some rumors that they were thinking about trading for him, and I'd love to have Tyreek Hill back. But are they going to lose to the Giants? Good Lord, I hope not. But, you know.
I hope not.
It's in New York, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the Giants.
I know, but it's also the NFL, and these things. Everyone thought, and look, it looked for a while like the Bills were going to blow out the Dolphins last night, and that game was still close and winnable if it wasn't for a pick late in the game. All right, what do you want to start with here?
Let's keep talking football. The new movie Him is in theaters now.
I don't think I have a bite for that, so tell us about it.
Well, it's who is that guy? Who is the GOAT when it comes to football? He is the one. He is him. Shall we say. Now, how do you get to become the GOAT in football? You got to work hard. You got to stay out of trouble. You got to always produce. This is a story about a guy who goes through what should be a season-ending injury, played by Marlon Wayans, and comes back and wins eight titles. Eight titles. I mean, wow. I think we're kind of comparing to what? Tom Brady
sounds
at this
like
point, or getting
it
close?
Yeah, it has to be.
But how did he get there? Who's behind him? And what about this new kid that's coming out, Cade, that wants to take his job and become him? And what is the process of becoming him? I use the title very frequently in what I'm using to describe it as, because let's just put it this way. It's not just hard work in this case that they go through. They go through a rigorous training plan, the two together, and you find out there's more behind the scenes, what many people might say, selling their soul to go ahead and get work done.
So is this kind of like is there a little bit of a horror? It sounds like there's a horror angle to this, right?
100%. Okay, you don't go to see this if you don't want to see something scary. That him aspect, of course, refers to something else. I'll leave you to go see it if you want to. A lot of people don't want to. I get that. It's one of these movies that I can't give you a good recommendation one way or another. Parts of this movie I really was engrossed in and wanted to see kind of how hard they pushed on certain things. And then the ending went a little too far for me, got kind of over the top. Where does it go after the movie? I don't know. There probably is a sequel somewhere in this, but where it goes from there, I don't know. I think people are going to come out confused, because if you're a football fan, which is what they're gearing towards, do you really believe you sell your soul to become the best at the game?
No, only Roger Goodell did that.
And, you know, I have this deep-seated hatred for Marlon Wayans, Paul. I don't know if you're aware of that.
I don't.
He's the only damn guy, like, in my entire life. Now, this happens less frequently now because I'm older, Jane. But Marlon Wayans is literally the only guy that came in here and he called my age, like, exactly. I think I was 52 at the time. And I've always, until recently, looked younger than my age. And he nailed it. And he goes, well, you look young, but you have a chicken neck. That's what he told me. He actually said that live on the radio. No, I like him. He was awesome.
That's
I really
hilarious.
Liked Marlon Wayans. It was. It was pretty funny. That goes back about 8 or 9 years. All right. So I started last night, and I'm very curious. I don't know if you've seen it, Paul. Black Rabbit.
I thought I could pay these guys back at a sure thing. How much do you owe him, Vince? Big number. What do you think happens? You don't pay back a loan for 3 years. That's such a big number for you, big deals.
is the Black Rabbit.
So I decided to press go on this last night. I think you may have mentioned it last week. I knew Jude Law was in it, but I didn't know anything else. So I pressed go. Becky went to sleep. I was staying up a little bit later with the puppy. I had forgotten, if I did know, I had forgotten that Jason Bateman plays one of the key roles in this. And I'm looking at the character. I'm like, who is that? What's Jason Bateman? But it looks nothing like Jason Bateman.
He's so great.
It's an interesting role for him. Jane, you've seen some of this as well?
Yes. I love both of them.
Explain the concept. This seems like really good work from Jude Law, just in, you know, the 30 minutes that I've watched him halfway through that first episode.
Yeah, so it's two brothers. One comes back to New York to be with his other brother. He's the kind of the delinquent, the one that always messes up.
Jason Bateman.
That one is Jason Bateman.
Right.
He comes back into the picture of Jude Law, who's a restaurant owner. A restaurant that we're learned to believe real quick that the two of them may have built together
right.
along the way. But it's the two of them navigating the world of the underground in New York, the forces that are behind a lot of things, and it's bringing that turbulent life into someone who's trying to be kind of top of the heap. And it's that weird relationship between them. It goes and develops into this really cool thriller that I enjoyed. I enjoyed this one from pretty much start to finish.
How many episodes?
Eight episodes on this one. So you're going to have to invest a little bit of time, but as Netflix tends to do, they dropped all eight at once. So you can do it now if you want to see it and enjoy it all
binging.
Weekend.
Good.
I'll be binging.
I think I'll be. I stopped because, you know, I don't know, you and Joe probably do the same thing, but I watch some shows separately from Becky, and there's a lot of shows that we watch together.
Yes.
And after watching it, I'm like, oh, this is one I think we need to watch together. So I was going to try to tell her to catch up and see if we can watch that one. So I liked it quite a bit on Netflix. We talked earlier this afternoon. Both of us have seen the Charlie Sheen doc we talked about last
Loved
week.
It.
I thought it was exceptionally entertaining. You know, entertaining is very sad in many ways as well. But, you know, the whole approach to the doc is you forget how big of an entertainment force he was at that time. And it's fascinating because he comes off an audition that he's late to and he thinks he's not going to get the gig in that scene in Ferris Bueller. Jen Gray's a friend, calls him, actually talks to John Hughes, the director, say, hey, I think that Charlie would be really good for this role. His brother is a much bigger star at this time, but that changes everything. That little scene in Ferris Bueller changed everything
for
Charlie
Sheen. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it really is when you think about it, especially because he was late. And I think John Hughes was late for his own shoot, so it didn't mean as much that he was late, right?
You were spot on in the basically observation that Nick Cage is the one you really want to see.
I know.
I mean, seriously, I didn't realize. I mean, and he was very open about the fact that that's where he turned.
Yeah, someone needs to do a Nick Cage documentary.
Yes,
that's one of my takeaways.
I did a press conference with him last year with his family in the room, and it was a very different guy than obviously he was at that point. The kids were running around. It was really cool to see. He was a great dude. So
I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, with Nick.
Yeah, I've never interviewed him before or Sheen. So yeah, but Nick Cage is a fascinating guy. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. All right, what else you got this weekend?
Let's mention a couple other things. One, you have to look. I know Ronnie's has it in a limited format. A new movie called Xeno hits theaters. It's very limited in its release. I think when they did the Hollywood pitch meeting, they said, okay, we're going to give you E.T. meets Alien with the creature coming into play. It's kind of a darker, different version of an alien coming to life and making a friend on Earth, but this creature is more like the alien character than any kind of cute and lovable. He's not going to get plush creatures of him. I actually found myself enjoying this. For people who want kind of a more or less family type movie, tells a good story, but with a little harder edge. This is kind of for those teenagers out there and maybe their parents to go see something. It's called Xeno. It's very, like I said, it's very limited in its release this week, but I had a good time with it. And over on Hulu, because I know, Mark, you were waiting for this story, and it's actually kind of a good movie, the new movie Swiped premieres over on Hulu. This is the story of Tinder.
Oh, wow.
Well,
okay.
The creation of Tinder, the tech guys that created it, the woman who came along and had a real big part in marketing it and getting it out there and getting it up and running, called the founder by many, distance immediately, and it was in the middle of kind of an environment that, it wasn't very women-friendly. As she walked away, she created her own empire of another giant social media platform, which you'll see the movie, you'll see which one, if you didn't know already. I like this. Lily James in the lead role.
as Whitney Wolf, who's the co-founder of Tinder and another big social media platform.
Huh. Would that be Grindr?
No, actually, I'll give it to you. It's Bumble.
Oh, Bumble.
Oh,
okay.
Bumble.
It was more of a female-centric platform versus, you know, she left Tinder, which is very a guy-centric platform, and a lot of unsolicited pictures that men would send along. Bumble is more about the women, and she wanted it to be a women-centric company, and she became bigger than life when it comes to all kinds of social media.
And you said that one's on Hulu, right?
That's on Hulu. Yeah, it's brand new. It's definitely worth your time.
Okay, outside of Black Rabbit, like I'm going to need something else because I've wrapped up a couple other things recently. So I'm going to need a streaming show here. I hope they got some good ones coming out.
There's a couple good ones coming out.
Yeah, there is a lot out there.
The Savant is next week. That's a new Jessica Chastain one. We got some good movies coming down the pike on Apple TV Plus that really look like you will enjoy them. And a couple other series. I just started getting into The Last Frontier, which we can talk about starting 2 weeks from now.
What was the
morning show started?
Oh, the morning show. Is that season four?
It's up. Yeah, yep. I mean, it's going to be one a week, but it's up.
What's the Mark Ruffalo show we talked about last week? I watched Task, right?
I need to watch that.
I liked it.
Did you? Yeah,
I did. I like his role in it quite a bit, but that's one where I think up until this point they had only released, well, maybe it's two episodes now, and then the third one will come out this weekend.
Oh, so I need to.
Yep.
Yeah,
one
I
a week on that one. Yeah.
I think you'll like that one, but that, you know, sometimes you get, I always just say it was okay, you know, because it gives you something to look forward to, but now I'm to the point where I'm frustrated if I can't watch more episodes, so that's why Black Rabbit might be the top choice this weekend. Paul, tell folks where they can find your reviews.
SimpleCommonGuy.com.
Have a great week. We'll talk next Friday.
Go Chargers.
Frank, I wish I could say go Chiefs, but I'm a little worried, like I said. We'll talk football and baseball and other stuff with Frank Cusimano coming up. I played this yesterday, but as we lead into Frank Cusimano here, this is Bill DeWitt III after meeting Pope Leo.
Yeah, it was fun because I noted that he was a White Sox fan, and then he instantly said, yeah, but my father was a Cardinals fan. So there was a definite moment there where he connected with what we were doing. The Pope and I share something in common. We both help manage Cardinals.
I like that, Frank Cusimano. That was very clever of Mr. DeWitt, but boy, he needs some divine intervention for his baseball club about this point, doesn't he?
Yeah, I hope he, you know, was smart enough to ask for a blessing because this team and this franchise desperately needs it. It's not just for the rest of this season, but for the next couple of years. We got to get used to it. It's not happening in a short period of time.
Well, you got the team that has the best record in baseball. Look, I would have to, given the fact that the Cardinals aren't anywhere near the playoffs, and I spent 9 years in Milwaukee, and my wife's a Brewers fan, I got to pull for the Brewers here in the postseason, I think.
And you should. I mean, it's 7 out of 8 years in the postseason. It's doing it with a modest budget, with strategic trading. They give up really good players, and the beat keeps going on. They are what the Cardinals used to be.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so where does this leave us now for the Cardinals moving forward? I mean, the pain is almost over. We've got a couple more weeks. But, you know, we were talking about this a little bit on the roundtable. You got to give us something in the offseason to maybe get excited about, don't you?
Yeah, you do, because last year, that's part of the reason why nobody bought season tickets. They were as quiet as a monastery. Mark, I think the most intriguing baseball story this weekend will happen at Busch in the 12:30 range on Sunday, where the Cardinals will do some type of honoring of John Mozeliak for his nearly 2 decades running the Cardinals, and the reaction to that. I hope with his family out there that people remember the resume and don't boo them, but I think there's going to be some that will, or there could be some that, hey, I just want to watch NFL football. Why would I want to watch the Cardinals play on a Sunday?
That's kind of where I am, but the latter.
Hey, Frank, Ethan here. So I want to read this quote from an article that Katie Wu put out this morning, because I think this is really interesting, and it makes you wonder. Here it is. So, multiple people within the organization have been told to expect significant roster turnover that doesn't just apply to Nolan Arenado, who expects another offseason of trade discourse as the Cardinals attempt to move him, or even veterans like Contreras or Sonny Gray, who have been hesitant to waive their full no-trade clauses in seasons prior, but could entertain the notion now that the team's immediate future is clearer.
That's interesting.
It makes you wonder, because we knew that there was going to be some movement this offseason. We knew that there was going to be some turnover, but it seems like the direction has gone from, yeah, we think that we're close, to no, this is going to take a while, and this is going to be a legit rebuild.
Well, I'm glad they have a dose of reality. I mean, look at the young Reds pitchers, like all first-round picks, like 28 to 22. Look at what Milwaukee is doing. Look at Chicago's explosiveness. I tell everybody, those feelings we had about the Cardinals last offseason, unless something dramatically different happens this offseason, we're going to have the same kind of feelings. I mean, this is not. I mean, we are paying for bad drafting, bad developing, and other teams, you know, being cutting edge. Other teams being what the Cardinals were 15 years ago with their model.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Let's talk Mizzou in South Carolina. It looks like the quarterback from South Carolina is going to play outside of being concussed last weekend. They've cleared him?
Yes, they did. And, well, it's not 100% certain, but probable. The way the point spread is looking, it looks like he's going to play. And he was a beast. He was Cam Newton when they played against him last year in Columbia, South Carolina, like 450 passing yards. So here's the thing, though. They were outgained by South Carolina State when they played. They were blown off the field by Vanderbilt. You can't even compare the way South Carolina has played with
Mizzou. Oh, we got some phone issues there, Frank. Yeah, unfortunately, we got some phone issues, and you're skipping around. Let's try it one more time. You there?
Yes.
No, you don't. We don't. We're going to have to let him go, I think, Ethan. Sorry about that, Frank. If you can hear me, all of a sudden your phone just started going haywire, and we were talking about Mizzou and South Carolina. I you know, look, since I'm a Mizzou guy, I always worry about bad things happening, and I felt weird about not having the starting quarterback from South Carolina be a part of the game because you want to beat them when they're the best, and I think this would be a big victory for Mizzou moving forward. Well, because you could be in this. Look, you win tomorrow, you're going to be in the conversation for the playoff because you have some opportunities moving forward. You lose tomorrow, you're probably done with the playoff.
Here's the thing. The schedule is weak for SEC schools. And there's a lot of schools ahead of Mizzou when it comes to
the strength of schedule
that the Tigers have. So part of you says, yes, this is a good thing that Lenora Sellers is going to be playing likely because this is a really good South Carolina team. I know that they are not ranked now because of
they dropped
the punishment
significantly. They were number 11
took last week, but this is a team that this is going to be ranked game importance for the Tigers. And I tell you what, they win this one, then they have the chance to go into, I think, week 6 or 7 against Alabama at home undefeated. That would be huge. There's a couple of big games coming up. They don't have a bunch of big ones on the schedule.
Let's
but
not get ahead of ourselves.
This is one of the biggest ones.
That could be huge. And that could be something that brings game day to Columbia.
And the spread is still big time in favor for the Tigers, 9.5-point favorites, which is still really high in
my opinion. I think we're a better team than South Carolina. Let's hope that plays out tomorrow because I always get nervous. Look, they did what they had to last week. They scored. They ran up the score on that team, and good teams do that. Jane, great to see you. You enjoy your football and baseball weekend and your streaming weekend. Ethan, we're going to hang out here for another hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.